Well, it's a significant week in our household with our eldest daughter starting primary school. Walking down the road and through the school gates for the first time marks our daughter beginning to make her way in the world, albeit in a guarded, limited way. She's starting to get out there. At the end of the first day, she brought home the fruit of her labors. She was carrying a large sheet of white paper over which she had painted in red and green and orange and blue. It was a work of art. Now, not a piece ever likely to grace the walls of the National Gallery, but it now stands center stage in our kitchen. Because here's the thing. In combining those particular colors, in those particular ways, on that particular sheet of paper, with stroke after stroke of her brush, our daughter had made something of the world. She had made something that had never been made before. And there, friends, we have a snapshot of what all of us are called to do. As we make our way in the world, we are to make something of the world. We are to take of what has already been made and in this extraordinary way add to it so that we make more of it. That's the mission statement that makes sense of our work, all our work, and especially that work which occupies us most of the time, whatever sphere we're working in, whatever scale we're working on. We see it right here in these early verses of the book of Genesis, which speaks to us of God's intention for humanity and God's instruction to humanity back at the very beginning. First, the intention. It's there in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Our being here, it's no afterthought. It's no chance occurrence late in the day. If anything was going to be made of this world so rich in potential, so full of possibilities, that was going to take some hands-on involvement. God creates humanity with the express intention that we will set about this task. Work, then, in the sense of making something of the world. It doesn't just fall to us, it is given to us. Or maybe it would be more helpful to think that we've been given to it. When humanity arrives on the scene, Genesis chapter 2, there's already work for them to join in on. "I've made a start," says the Lord. "Why don't you now grab a tool and come partner with me in this? What are your thoughts and ideas? Personalize it. Give it your stamp." It's not exactly a blank canvas, but it's as close as we'd ever get to one there at the outset. See the scope of the project back there in verse 26. "We were created so that we would rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." Now I wonder, here in the city, do we ever dream about relocating out into the rolling countryside? About having that little fenced-off plot of land where we could keep a few chickens, perhaps a goat, one or two sheep. The key thing being keeping it simple, keeping it small. By all means, start there. But don't end there. Our horizons are to be expanded ever outwards, down into the depths with the fish of the sea and up into the heavens with the birds of the air. As people whose feet are often too firmly planted on the ground, what does that even look like to exercise such rule? But over time, the garden has grown into the city. It was meant to. And through amazing feats of achievement, we've now become almost as comfortable in the air and at sea as we are on land. God intended that we move out into the world and make something of it. Secondly, he instructed it. See verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." Well, that doesn't leave us much room to maneuver. Certainly doesn't allow us to opt out. We don't get to say to God, "Whatever your intentions are for my life, I intend to lead it very differently," which tends to involve a couch or a sun lounger. No, we can't expect to opt out and still have life. In this instruction, we learn something foundational about who we are. It speaks to us of what it means to be human, to be alive, to be fruitful. That's to make more of something that is already there, to add to it. It's a principle that's been hardwired into creation. It really is possible for this world to amount to more. Of course, what is firstly in view here is biological reproduction, making more of us, making other us's, which itself makes for a richer and more diverse humanity. But this connects back in with our rule over the whole creation. We can add to it in an equally rich and diverse way. Start where you're at, is the message that comes with this instruction. After all, where else can we start? And none of us are in the places we find ourselves by accident. For our first parents, it meant starting small. What can we be doing, however tentatively, to add something new? But we need to step back for a moment, because how we do this work is just as important as what we do. You see, it may be when you look out at the world and hear this talk of making something of it, you're thinking, "Well, we've made a complete mess of it." Then when we hear this word rule, we see that as a license to go trample and exploit. Look where that's got us. The problem here lay with us, not with God's good intention. How we are to go about the making something of the world becomes clear to us when we pay attention to that word image, which is repeated again and again in these verses. Verse 26, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Verse 27, "God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." Image, likeness. There is so much that we could say about being made in the image of God, but that's the subject of another talk. Here, two things stand out. In making something of the world, we're not making it for ourselves, but for others. Earlier in this first chapter of Genesis, we see how God himself went about making a world, calling it into existence. He brought order where there would instead be chaos. He separated opposites, one thing off from another. He put boundaries in place to hold things at bay. Why? To free up space. To free up space within which living creatures could breathe and flourish. This creative work of God, it isn't primarily for himself. It is about making the best of all possible worlds for others. If our God works in this way, then we should work likewise. Not for ourselves in selfish gain, but for the flourishing of others. Also, in making something of the world, we're not making it by ourselves, but with others. Notice who is speaking there in verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" We're listening in on a conversation between the three persons who are the one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This work of making a world, it was never a solitary exercise. It was the overflow of a shared passion, ideas colliding, sparking off one another, building towards something far more pleasing, far more satisfying than a single individual could ever come up with on their own. If God works this way, then we should work likewise. Not by ourselves in isolation, but with and truly alongside others. Now, I don't doubt that sometimes your workplace can be a very go-it-alone place. I trust that many of us do have colleagues we can partner with in creative ways. But when we do find that we're on our own, even isolated, well, I hope coming along to these Thursday lunchtime services will remind you that you needn't be. Earlier this week, we had the keynote lecture from the Apple Corporation. I'm always intrigued to see what upgrades and what new pieces of tech they're about to unleash on the world, to unleash on my bank account. Well, this is the first in many years when the technology has got bigger. In the introduction to the event, these words flashed across the screen. You are the difference between the world as it was and the better place it will become. You are the difference between the world as it was and the better place it will become. It's a fitting slogan for an organization which prides itself in pushing forward the boundaries of possibility. But it's fitting in another way also. Tweak the emphasis a little, and what we have here are strong echoes of Genesis 1 and 2. We are called to be at work in this world as it is, with an eye to making something more, something better of it. And whatever reservations we may have about Apple as an organization, we can't escape the fact that here is a gifted group of people who are doing just that. To draw this to a close, there are two dangers that present themselves to us on the back of all this talk about work: idolatry and idleness. Opposite extremes, but both just as dangerous. A first danger is making an idol of our work. When we do come to see our work as making something of the world, yes, there is a danger that it will take on a godlike status in our lives. We can find ourselves giving more and more of our lives over to it. And as we do, it will consume us. Idols promise life, but they only ever bring death. Remember, our work in the world is God-given, and we will only do it well as we do it in partnership with Him. The Lord needs to remain God in each of our lives. A second danger is becoming idle in our work. Here's what I mean. At some point, the lights went out, or perhaps they've yet to come on. We've settled into thinking that we can make no real difference in and through our work. So we've settled for doing the bare minimum. Enough to keep the boss happy. Essentially, you're now living for the weekend. So you're writing off 70% of your life. But in this life, one thing that is worse than work is no work. Remember. Your work in the world is God-given. And through it, in partnership with Him, the Lord intends for you to make a difference. It's a partnership that will bear fruit. So, take on board God's intention. Hear God's instruction. Work as one made in His image, so that we avoid both idolatry and idleness. In this way, there is a joy to be found in all our workplaces. Amen.